I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Suntan Voice, 18 of them, and it's here to welcome you to voices? The Food Show. You're on 105.3 FM HD.
Two.
And it's time for the Food Show, as I said already. I jumped the gun on that one. This is the suntan voice of your local announcer. Okay, that's enough.
I only let you go for a little bit, and then yeah, I gotta jump
and
in.
Then what?
I'm the wife, Marianne, here with Tom.
Yeah, but you'd never know that she's my wife or that I were her husband because we look exactly alike.
Oh, yeah.
Don't
yeah,
we? Do. Isn't that how the deal?
Images of each other. Now, Tom, behind you, we're in the studio.
There's somebody
today,
behind
in
me?
In the city. And behind you is no longer the most interesting thing out the window behind you is, I would say, no longer the cruise ship, although it is still a favorite view.
Is
that gigantic yellow crane.
Oh, you've got a ship out there.
That is a gigantic crane. Anyway, that's for the building that's being renovated next door or across the side street.
It's pretty amazing.
Let's start the food show. What are we going to talk about today?
Well,
this is such a planned show.
I don't have a planned show too much, but there was one thing I thought I would bring up.
What's that?
And it was because of what I had for lunch today. I went for lunch over at Vuillon or Vion. And, you know, even they don't seem to have it figured out how to pronounce the name. But anyways, V-Y-O-O-N-E apostrophe S. This is a great...
Is it somebody's name?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Yes.
She probably knows how to pronounce it.
She probably does, but she's out of town right now, or else I'd ask her.
No, that's Zori.
No, that's her fault. She's the one.
Okay. Anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
Anyway, that's what she told me. Okay. Anyhow, this is a restaurant that, although it is in the Warehouse District, or the CBD is more appropriate for that exactly, and it is... A specialist in French cooking, and in fact, they had this platter that they brought to me at the end of what was supposed to have been a small lunch, just to catch me up on how things, because there have been a few things messing up the neighborhood, one of them being that huge derrick
crane,
out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was something. But they are back open. They never really closed. And they served the French lunch with me. I had some of the potato served cold as a soup,
you know,
vichyssoise, right? They had that and about another dozen and a half different dishes. I couldn't get even close to being a total taste of that, but I remember it anyway, having been there a few times before and thought it was as good as I remember. And so there they are, and it was enjoyable. They stopped for a couple of weeks. Some people were reporting that they had closed. They have not closed. They have not changed anything dramatically. And one of the two partners that put it together and run everything over there, she is spending a lot of time in France right now because she's got a big project for doing an art series.
She's an
over.
Artist also.
She's always been.
Yes.
And in fact, in the restaurant itself, you see those paintings all over the place. Very
I just
nice.
I saw something that
what?
We need to talk about.
Oh, well, let's talk about it.
Yes.
It's swinging
Wednesdays,
in the wind?
Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays through September is Fettuccine Frenzy at Middendorf. So you know what?
Oh,
we should
now
call
where?
Them and ask them if they're doing that because they didn't send out anything on it, and they have their new location, so maybe...
What's the new location?
In Slidell. That one in Slidell.
So, they opened up one in Slidell?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
When did that happen?
Anyway... So that one may be changing their fettuccine frenzy dynamic. So maybe we can call them and see if that's happening. Today is National Fresh Cut French Fry Day. One of my favorite things in the whole wide world. And it's really hard to find some great fresh cut fries. My current reigning favorite at the moment is at Bar Francis.
Bar Francis.
Bar Francis on Ferret.
Yeah, that's a cute little place.
Exceptionally good basket of fresh cut fries. First of all, it's enormous. And they're not the little bistro fries, the little thin ones. They're the basic, normal, quarter-inch square fresh-cut fry, and they tend to be really long ones, which I kind of like when you kind of have a French fry that bends. And the aioli is really good. Anybody else know of some really great French fresh-cut fries out there? It is not all that easy to find great fresh-cut fries. It is somewhat easier to find fresh cut fries, but really great ones are kind of hard. We went to Mo Bar the other day, and those were kind of bistro fries, but they were really not good. So who's got good fresh cut fries in your opinion out there? Because I would like to check it out.
Can I ask you a preference that you have on this?
Yeah.
One of the things that we have seen in recent years is for fresh-cut French fries being paired up or being coated with some of those other ingredients you can add in there, truffles, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No.
Okay. Well,
no,
then that's where we split apart.
The fresh-cut fry ought to be just salted, or I do also like the ones that are coated with Creole seasoning. Those will work, too. I like the fresh cut fries at Shaya. Those are served
wonderful
with a harissa mayo, which is absolutely divine.
Harissa mayo. She plays basketball, doesn't she? For no. Oh.
Anyway.
I thought I'd take a shot at it.
Other places that have really good fresh cut fries. If you know of some, please let me know because I really do like them. I don't eat them as often as I used to, and it's kind of like I'm moving into my bread thing where it's really got to clear a threshold for me to eat it. But if they're good, they can be really good. Mr. B's has a really interesting
those are really
with
good
fresh cut fries. They are 40 years this year, so congratulations to them. But their fresh cut fry presentation comes on this It's quite impressive, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tower.
A tower?
Yes, it's a tower. And there's a, it's like when you're sitting at the table, if you've ordered the fresh cut fries, they are garlic fries. Again, not a favorite, but in this case, it works. Maybe because the presentation is so impressive. Mm-hmm. I am a sucker for most things. But anyway, the tower has a whole pod of garlic with it, and then the fries are scattered around, and then it's topped with a little sprig of oregano. That's sprigs of oregano are turning up everywhere, and why not? Because they make a cool presentation.
Oh, yeah.
But
and they grow
the
better this
fries,
time of year too.
The fresh cut fries are really good there, and they, like I said, it's quite a presentation. We were there, and they came to the table and started moving things around, and I thought, well, what are you doing? And they said, we're making room for the fries, and I thought, wow, that's going to be impressive. And in fact, it was very impressive.
If I may insert myself.
Sure.
Well, during Mardi Gras, during the what were we doing over there? We were going through the dock, and getting around there with the kids and everything else. And we wound up at Mr. B's for dinner, and it was just one of those really terrific nights over there. And I agree with you totally about their fries. They're crisp. They're not greasy.
Yes, these are the factors that make for good fries. Limp, bad.
Limp.
Crisp, good.
So walk along and limp, and then you'll get
clear. Good, brown, not good. Let's see, what else? That's about it. You really kind of, if you have the crisp thing going, it doesn't even have to be all that crisp, but it just can't be limp and greasy. Oh, greasy versus not greasy. Obviously, you would choose for the not greasy. But if you have it, like I said, my current grating favorite right now is Bar Francis.
Bar Francis. Don't say that all in one word.
Bar Francis.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some other fries that are good, but I have Barcadia has good fries. Those tend to be a little on the greasier side. I don't like battered fries.
No, the battered everything is taking over. I had battered tortilla chips a few days ago. I had battered.
Where did you have battered tortilla chips? Because I eat with most meals, and I didn't see any battered tortilla chips.
This was just yesterday. Coated. It's the Mexican place we go to all the time.
Yeah. Okay. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. If you would like to chat with us about fresh cut French fries, it is National Fresh Cut Fry Day. Fresh cut fries are hard to find because they're really kind of a pain to make.
That is true, and you have to be very careful about it, and you have to have your temperature of the oil to be just perfect. And finally, you do not want anything that even slightly smacks of fries that have been over-fried or with too much oil. And then that's
then
what brings them down.
We used to make some great fresh-cut fries, if I do say so myself. One of the things that we took out, you know, when you clear out your parents' house, when both of them have passed away and the kids go in and they clear it out for sale, and one takes one thing and one takes the other thing. It's usually something that's a real favorite. My sister took a roaster. It was where my mom always roasted a turkey for Thanksgiving, and we used that pot for a million things. But it was an enormous roaster, and it was about, you know, maybe even a foot tall. Usually roasters now are, you know, 4 inches or so, but this was like a foot tall, and it was probably 2 feet long and another a foot and a half wide, because we had a huge family. Anyway, it was of that sort of, I guess it was aluminum. I don't know, a thin kind of aluminum. Anyway, she took that with her. Somebody took the big yellow salad bowl. But I liked the, was it called the Kitchen Magician?
Yeah,
was
that was
it? The Kitchen Magician.
The Kitchen
Anybody
Magician.
Anybody remember the Kitchen Magician? It was one of those Ron Popeil products.
And it would chop things up for you in seconds.
Ron Popeil is still out there, yeah. I think, or his company is still creating new things. But anyway, Ron Popeil is probably one of the original billionaires, but I mean, other than the railroad magnates. But the Kitchen Magician was this little plastic gadget, and it had a crank. I'm sure people have them, but it had a crank, and you would stick a potato in, and you would turn the crank, and then it would be sort of like a grater, really. And then the fries or whatever it is that you're grating would come out, you know, the other side. This is kind of like a spiralizer, you know, what's popular now.
What's
but
that?
The Kitchen Magician just sounds so much more romanticized.
Yeah. And it had one issue that in the long run would prove to be its demise, and that is that the crank, which you had to turn in order to do your chopping or slicing or whatever the magician did for you, it was made out of plastic. And after a couple of hundred usages with this, the crank would start falling apart, and then what did you have?
Well, we actually have this still working, and we used it a lot more than my mom ever did. I'm sure if I could go back in time, my mom probably bought it because everybody was bugging her to buy it, but I don't think it was ever really used the home of origin. And so when we took it over, we started to really, really use it. And it's gotten a lot of uses. It has now been retired because we don't eat fried things quite as much. But we did have a period where the Kitchen Magician was constantly being used. We used it for onions, for fried onion rings, and also for French fries. But We are good at making bistro fries. They tend to be small, and they were always crispy and delicious. Same is true for the onion rings that we used to make with the Kitchen Magician. Fresh cut French fries are one of the subjects today. There will be plenty others if you would like to talk to us. 260-6368 is the number. You are listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2. We'll be back.
Welcome back. It's the Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2 as well. It's nice to talk with you about everything having to do with eating and restaurants, cooking and wine. Here's what we got working today, more or less. I went and had a French lunch today at Yvon's. Or Vion. I mean, it's really.
Does anybody really know how to pronounce the name of that restaurant? If you do, please give us a call.
Every time I see her, that it's a lady who's one of the owners of a restaurant called Vion's, I ask him, okay, say it four or five times for me. I'm going to listen real closely and see if I can get it. I never quite do, but it doesn't matter. They're nice, nice people. They do really good cooking. And I thought today, since I was over there in the general neighborhood anyway, I haven't been there for a while, but I really like the place. And I thought, you know, after we say a few things about it, what about some thoughts about the kind of cooking, which is in a lot of ways into different people, the ones that really enjoy the fanciest of cooking. I'm not looking to do that, but food from France. It would be, I think, a pretty interesting topic from you because do you like that sort of thing or is it just snooty to you? One way or the other, people have one or the other feeling. For example, yesterday we got into it for a good bit about Chateaubriands and, you know, who gets those. But anyway, I thought I just would offer that to you, too, because there it is. And I like the Mr. B's recommendation. That has become really a standard for French fries around town. All right, French fries, we love them. We'll bring them back if you want to. But if you've got anything else on your mind at all, anything
from... Well, it just so happens that I do, Tom.
You do? Well, I've been wondering when you would get around to it. So get your around
as
to it,
as
and
you
I'll
shut
get
up.
Your...
Okay.
You've got your golf.
The cruise ship is just past. They are going away. Goodbye. Have a wonderful trip. I just saw the familiar carnival...
Yeah, ding, ding.
...funnel going past Tom's head. And I was thinking about wonderful meals on cruise ships. For that, to me, that would be not. But if you've had a really great meal on a cruise ship or any cruise ship whose food you really, really like, I'd like to throw that out into the mix of things that we can talk about today. But first,
Wait. Before you go there, if I may, I'll make this quick. There are... a lot of boats that go up and down the Mississippi River. These are mostly tourist people who come into town, and they get a great kick out of it because, I mean, you are in the middle of the river, after all, and you've got one of these paddle-operated boats, and all of this is stuff you're not going to find back home in Chicago. So that's a great thing, and they serve food. So give me your thoughts about what you found on the riverboat. Paddlers of various kinds, or if you want to, any kind of seafood in the sense of there you are in the ship.
Speaking
out on
of
the river.
Seafood,
yeah.
New Orleans hamburger and seafood.
I'll be darned.
Yes.
What are they
about
doing
them.
Here?
New Orleans hamburger and seafood is where you are going to find a pretty extensive menu of burgers, because hence the name, New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. They have a good menu of burgers. They're all crusty on the outside, juicy on the inside. They have terrific fried seafood. It is crisp. It is delicious. It is golden brown. It is greaseless. And it is hot because they don't cook it until you order it. It is spicilicious if you ask them. They can kick it up a few notches.
By the way, we've been hearing that word. What does that mean?
Well, it means if you want it a little more spicy, you say spicilicious.
Spicilicious.
And they throw a few more spicy elements into the batter, or they give you the battered ones that have the spice in it.
Well, that sounds logical.
They offer this as a platter or in a poor boy. There are great local specialties, things like red beans and rice. They have good pasta dishes. They have big, crisp, interesting salads. And now char-grilled oysters.
Have you had those yet? I have not.
No, I have not. But I have had char-grilled oysters. I have a feeling those are probably pretty good. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood is a fast, casual restaurant. Nice surroundings. 10 locations. So check them out. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood.
Mm-hmm. 260-6368. 260-6368.
That today.
Did I know? Yeah. No.
In 1916.
The
first Piggly Wiggly opened.
Oh.
And it was the first self-serve grocery store.
I
didn't even know that you had to have people walk around with you picking things off of shelves. But according to your almanac, it says that's the first time it was...
all the time. What people did was they would tell the guy who ran the store, he said, I want some... let's see.
Pickle meat.
Sure,
pickle
that's a good start.
What is pickle meat anyway?
Pickle meat is where you take, usually it's done with a shank or even farther back.
What does it taste like? Is it like a spicy ham or something?
Kind of like that. There's a smoky aspect to it.
Is it like tasso?
No, it's not that spicy and not that smoky either. It was just everything that you ate in the what would become the supermarket. You would just go to the store, like going to, let's say, a pharmacy.
Uh-huh.
And you say, I need this thing. And they would sell it to you one item by one item. And that's the way markets used to operate back before Piggly Wiggly became the standard.
Uh-huh.
That's the story.
Well, we didn't get to the pickle meat though. So is pickle is pickle meat like pickled meat?
No, you don't get what I think of as a pickled taste. You get more of a.
People used to say, "I'm making red beans with pickle meat."
Yeah, that's probably the most widespread use of pickled meat is to have done that.
But what is it? I mean, does it taste like pickled meat?
No, it doesn't really have that quality at all. What did you say there, Rich?
I was saying you put it in cabbage also.
Yeah, that's
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Did your grandmother do that? Ron loved his grandmother.
Yes. Yes, she did.
Warren LaRuth once did a pickle meat version of turtle meat. Turtle
Warren
soup.
Warren LaRuth used pickled
Warren
meat?
Warren LaRuth loved pickled meat.
Really?
And he used it in all kinds of things, but I particularly remember what he used to do with turtle soup. And he was real proud of that. And the restaurant you would go to get it, it was not widespread, was Cobb's, K-O-L-B-S. And he sold a lot of them there, and it became kind of famous until he moved on to other things. But he was a smart man, could do things like that.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay. Well, to my knowledge, I've never had pickled meat because it didn't sound very good and because that sounds like something that my mom wouldn't have used. Although,
yeah,
Ron, my mom
exactly.
did use like a big ham shank with cabbage and of course potatoes.
Yeah, there you go.
Same thing.
And,
yeah.
But it was not pickled. It was just like they would go and get a bone, like a ham bone at the store.
Do they still sell that just like a ham bone? That's kind of, yeah, like a ham bone that you would get in when you get your red beans and rice on Monday.
But I think people can actually buy a ham bone, can't they?
Oh, sure you can.
They can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we never needed to buy a ham bone growing up because my dad would get like a ham, like a whole ham.
Yeah. Well, that's how it starts.
And not bake it like you do. Well, first of all, your baked ham did not have a bone in it. It was always a boneless baked ham. But I guess you could bake a ham with a bone in it.
Sure. Oh,
you?
Absolutely.
Does Jassacy sell bone-in hams?
I don't know if they do that, but I do know that there are a lot of restaurants around town which, when they sell red beans and rice, one of the options. Is to have the ham shank, we would never be talking about a small little lump there.
Yeah.
We were talking a mammoth Idlu.
Yeah.
Idlu?
No. Let's go to Tom, who is on the phone.
And that's not me.
Probably wanting to talk about pickle meat.
We'll find
Hi,
out.
Tom.
Yes?
Not you, Tom.
Hello.
I'm Tom.
Tom, welcome to the food show.
Do we have Tom with us?
Enjoy the use of my name, if you don't mind.
I've been using it longer. The use of his name.
Okay,
I've been
Michael.
Using it longer than you have.
I was about to say, maybe Tom's using your name. Okay. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Well, as far as pickled meat, the only thing I remember is you used to see in bars, you'd see a big jar of pickled pig feet, but I never ate one, so I don't know.
That's a totally different thing, but it does come from the same era.
I was about to say, it probably is kind of the same thing if it's a pickled pig.
Yeah.
If it's a pickled pig part. I don't want to talk about parts of things. Go ahead.
All right.
But I have a question.
Ask.
Last night I went out to eat with one of my cousins, and she noticed a Vera's restaurant in Covington.
Yeah, on Highway 59.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same Vera's, yes.
I wonder if it's as good as the other Vera's.
It can't be. You know why? Because the Vera's that was on the lake was so raffishly cool. How could anything be as good? Even
it's a
if
good
the food
looking.
Was better, you're missing that atmosphere, you know?
Yeah, well, the one that they have now is good on 190 in Slidell, but of course, I only went to the one on Rat Nest Road once. Totally
Rat
different.
Rat Nest
kind
Road,
of place.
What a great name.
Isn't that a wonderful name?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, my cousin didn't believe me when I told her that's what it was on, a Rat's Nest Road.
Well, it kind of looks like a rat. It looked like a rat's nest, didn't it?
It looked more like Hurricane Katrina.
Well, after Hurricane Katrina came through, but while it was standing, it was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I will let you have that. And the score is 49.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
No?
Not you, Tom. Him, Tom. Go ahead.
And another, you were talking about riverboats. I went to the Natchez one time.
Yeah, how was the food there?
Ordinary.
I had it a long time ago, but I don't remember anything good about it.
Yeah, it was just ordinary. But what really ticked me off, I picked up a plate. It looked like a buffet, and I was going to serve myself. And this woman snatched the plate out of my hand. You don't do that. We serve you. And I almost told him to go to hell.
Well, then don't make it look like a buffet.
Yeah, well,
or a buffet either.
Well, that kind of is a buffet. If it was on that boat, it would probably be a buffet. Because I remember eating there once and thinking, they should do something about this.
Well, you know, there was nothing special about the food.
There you go.
You know, you go down there and they try to pull all kind of stuff on you, like, bet you I can tell you where you got them shoes. And they push you in line to take pictures, and I said, I don't want my picture taken. I'm from here, and I don't
about
want
to say,
any
I don't
pictures.
Think it's for you, then. It's touristy, 100%. What'd you have at Vera's?
The last time I was at Vera's, I had the soft-shell crab platter.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that place? Like, I don't know. I just can't warm to the place. And I couldn't warm to the place when it was Camellia Cafe, and I don't warm to the place now. The food's good, though.
Yeah. I like it okay. Everything except one thing, and that's roast beef poor boy, which it looks like the kind of place where you would go and get that. In fact, it's just okay. But their seafood I find to be pretty good, and especially you get a fried seafood platter. I think you're in pretty good shape with that.
Yeah,
there's supposed to be. Don't they have another one in Slidell?
They do.
The
one in Slidell. That's
the original.
That's
the one that's in that nondescript shopping center sort of between Lacombe and Slidell, right?
But it's closer to the shopping mall.
Yeah, it's not very far from the mall.
Right,
yeah, it's about the 4 or 5
So it's technically Slidell, but it's a strip mall. It's hard to compete with what was.
Well,
you know what I mean? And I feel bad for a place like that where you have such a unique environment that is such a part of the experience, and then you lose that, and you have to set up shop someplace else. It's like Sid Meier's.
I think it's a little better than that, but okay.
Well, you know, when Sid Meier's moved to that location that is now Andy's Bistro, it's like, what? Yeah,
all they did was get moved around, didn't they?
I know. It's very sad.
Well, it's like West End. You know, that used to have its own atmosphere, but that's all gone.
I know.
Well, here we go again. What?
Well, like I said, every time we talk about it, Tom, it's such a... It was so connected to the soul of the
city.
When we lost it, it left a big void.
Yes, we did.
One other comment. I went to Mama D's Pizza in Abita.
Oh, do you live over there?
Well, I'm right down here almost by the intersection of 190 and I-12.
Okay, so you do live on the North Shore. Because I was about to say, how in the world would you wind up at Mama D's unless you live there? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know the people that own it.
Oh, yeah? What is it like these days? It's an interesting little place.
Well, I couldn't tell. I hadn't been there
That's
in several years,
and
it looked the same. Looks the same to me, except a couple of the Turks that were there when I used to go there are gone. There's only one of Mama D's Turkish relatives that still works in there.
Oh, were they actually Turkish, really?
I knew they were from Asia somewhere, but I never was quite sure where.
It's an interesting little place. It really is.
Yeah, well, Mama D is from Turkey. She's married to the owner of the place.
I see. Okay.
And she had, I never was sure of all the relationships. I think one or two of those guys were her brothers and cousins.
Uh-huh.
And back when they had a big TV in there several years ago on a satellite, all you would see was hockey games from Turkey. So if you didn't understand Turkish, you couldn't follow the games.
I do remember that. I remember thinking, why is that on in here? And
interesting.
So I didn't realize that. That's a peculiar little place. It's perfect for downtown. I put that in quotes, downtown Abita Springs. There is no downtown. Anyway, thank you for calling, Tom. We have to go to a break.
It's the food show, Tom, and thanks for calling.
260-6368. No, we have to...
Yeah, I know. I was just telling everybody that Gregory is going to be on with us after first. If you will,
yes.
This.
Let's take a break. Right to Gregory.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Hello, welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and whoever you are is something that pleases me more than enough. Come on in. You're always welcome, no matter what time of day it is, whatever you want to eat about or eat with. Or wait a minute. What about Gregory is here, who will save us all.
Yes. Hello, Marianne. God bless you guys. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
I love you guys so much. I haven't had a chance to phone in. We're so busy lately. We're doing a reboot of the wine and liquor department. But yesterday's show, I was chomping at the bit because I couldn't phone in time. I was so unhappy. You didn't mention two people. You said, who are the most hospitable, like restaurateurs, most gracious people that come to your table and say hello?
Mm-hmm.
You left out two very important people. Now, I'm sure there's so many, it's hard to name them all, but I'm just going to go back to yesterday's show because I could only listen. I couldn't phone in. You forgot to mention Susan Spicer and the great Frank Bryson.
Oh, well, that fills a lot of time there.
Thank you. I don't really know either one of them.
You don't know either one of them.
I mean, I've met them, but it's like you don't really know them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I guess, he's been a friend of mine for years since he was with Kay Pauls. And, of course, Susan Spicer goes way back. Well, Tom, you've known her for 30 years.
Sure have,
life.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just because Tom does doesn't mean I do. But anyway.
Oh, okay,
how you like
Marianne.
That?
But, I mean, y'all
didn't start hanging
about,
around with Tom for real until recently. Go ahead.
this is true, and we are a better city for you being on the show. I'm telling you that. All right, Tom? I got that out of the way.
Yeah, you talked me right in.
Right. Gregory.
All right. Now, where were we?
No, I was talking about the most gracious host, and that was from yesterday's show. Y'all were talking about something else just a little while ago before the break. I've lost my train of thought. Is that possible,
I know the feeling.
Tom, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to Marianne.
Yeah.
What was your topic when you at the top
fresh
of the show?
Fresh cut fries.
French
best food.
Fresh
food.
Yes.
And anything else you want to talk about?
Well, let's just talk about great food. What a meal I had last night.
Tell
at
us.
Station 6 again. I can't get on more enough about Station 6.
Did you do the Caribbean menu?
She's done with that. No more of that. She's back to her regular menu. She went for the Caribbean tour, if you recall, all the way through the spring and summer,
okay.
Which is now she's back to, but she had this grouper. You know how you like the doormat flounder, Tom?
Yeah.
You like the baked flounder. Try it with grouper stuffed with
I can believe that.
Grouper's
grouper is an underrated restaurant.
Underrated fish. And it's from the Gulf. It was caught right out, and she actually showed you where it's sourced from. And while you're eating, because I like to eat the bar. I don't like eating at the tables. I like to eat at the bar. And they got the big television. And she's showing about the beefs and where her and her husband lived for all those years in Antigua.
Oh, really?
And, Marianne, it's really an amazing. And the bartenders and the waitresses and the servers are just so gracious. And they know everybody. It's Bucktown. It's Bucktown redone.
And here we go again.
Oh, yeah, we're back
to Weston. I know. It's Bucktown redone. It really is.
It's the Bucktown.
No, but it's Bucktown. It's Bucktown done well, and it's almost like West End because everybody knows each other. Even the guests that are next to you would, like, you know, bump an elbow. And then Allison will come out and go, oh, my God, hi, how you doing? And then, hey, give him a round of drinks. I'm not kidding you. It's that much fun.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was the place to be.
Well, you know,
it
was
Tony's opinion.
No. Well, you guys need to go to Station 6 and have a lot of good time. But Frank Bryson and Susan Spicer are some of the most hospitable, gracious owners of any restaurants they've ever opened. Unfortunately, she shut down Bongo with that place on Harrison Avenue.
Yeah,
But I saw that coming. It didn't fit. But Iona and Rosedale are going to be there forever, I'm sure.
Well, Mondo was a, quote, global cuisine, and people in Lakeview don't want global cuisine.
Well, I remember when she
first opened. Just want something comfortable where they can take the kids and hang out.
Marianne, that's a terrific point you just brought up. I remember in 2012, I brought my daughter into town, and Bongo had just opened. I mean, Mondo.
I was about to
say
Bongo.
And now my daughter only eats sea creatures. She's really weird about this. She won't eat anything that, that breathes on land.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, Dad, I only want sea creatures. And she was only like 21 at the time. It was 2012. So I took her to Mondo. This one they first opened, and I'm good friends with Susan and stuff. And I said, well, they had this appetizer. She loves oysters. Uh-huh. But the appetizer was baked oysters wrapped in bacon with all this fennel and stuff. And I had to actually ask Susan, could you do the oysters without the bacon? And she goes to me, because that's not the recipe. Well, could you just bake us some oysters for crying out loud?
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
Susan did it. Susan did it, just with the fennel and the spices. But I had my own order with the bacon wrapped oysters. Tom, I don't know if you remember that appetizer that she did over there at Mondo. It was really terrific. Everything she did at Mondo was terrific. She even did, like, pizza, which was kind of kooky.
And burgers.
She did, like, and she did burgers. But Rosedale and, of course, Biona is not going anywhere. But anyway, you didn't mention Frank Bryson and
Well, you just did, so thank you.
Well, I certainly did. And probably the greatest guy in all the world is Frank Bryson. Oh, and you don't know what he's doing right now for those hurricane people in the Bahamas. Sidney Torres and Lenny Kravitz are sending all kind of food and stuff over there. Frank's the unsung hero of New Orleans cuisine, if you ask me. K. Paul trained and New Orleans lover.
Great guy.
Yep. All right, you guys. I could talk to you forever.
It's all always, right, you're on. Always welcome.
Bye, Gregory.
Hello.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Would love to talk with you about anything, really, no kidding, about the eating scene around town, whether it's a hamburger or an order of fries. We actually were studying that intensively earlier. And whatever it is, don't get the idea in your mind that, well, that doesn't really sound like the kind of thing you'd put on a radio show. Oh, yeah, you would, because we have put darn near anything on the show, as long as it's first class and tells us something that you and I would like to know more about. 260-6368. That's our phone number. Write it down somewhere. You'll need it one of these days.
All right.
260-6368. And now here is the elite voice of Marianne.
Oh, thank you. So today, in 1916, Piggly Wiggly opened, and you said with a novel idea where you could just go in and shop.
Yes.
So imagine that. Imagine a time before you just went in and shopped and what that would be like. I mean, I hate to shop, first of all. So I wouldn't mind sending someone to the store and saying, I need this, 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 and this. So do we have people who like to shop or hate to shop out there?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you used to love to shop. You used to go into the store, and it would be an event. And you
Me?
Would, yes. And you would go
what
up and down.
What makes you think that?
Because I've lived with you for a while. So you would go up and down the aisles. And you didn't even know what you needed. And a lot of times you would come back with a lot of things that you didn't need. But it was such an event for you that you would just go up and down the aisles.
Well,
and
it felt
then
good.
Fill up your basket, and that was it. To me, first of all, I do everything I can to avoid going to the store. I hate going to the store. I only go to the store for things like, well, I do buy a chicken for the dog, and toilet paper, and an occasional thing to cook. I buy milk. I buy eggs. And that's really it. And it's almost traumatic for me to go to the store. So I would have loved it in the days when you could just go there with a list and say, here, you go down the aisle and you shop for me.
Yeah, you can do that. But that maybe people didn't even do that at that time in this allusion over to the What's their name again?
Another time, the time warp. Do you want to know if you like shopping or not? I mean, am I odd? I mean, I know I am. But, I mean, are there people out there who really don't like shopping at all?
Like, oh, I'm sure there are.
When I say don't like shopping, I mean that universally. Like, I don't really like shopping for clothes or anything. It's just a real annoyance. So I'm just wondering if there are other people out like
Lots
that.
Of,
and I'm not talking about clothes now. We're talking about grocery store shopping.
Okay. I'm going to do this. I have a piece of paper and a pencil. Call me and tell me which side you're on this. Do you like grocery shopping?
I'll be shocked if anyone is with me.
Or do you dislike it?
Okay. I'll be shocked if anybody doesn't like shopping, because I think most people probably do.
We'll put you on first here.
Yes, put me in the column.
Okay, and you are Nick's.
Do not like shopping.
Okay. And what about you?
Tom, you love shopping.
Me?
Oh, look at that. We're opposites.
I love it. Okay,
that's what I said.
Okay,
go. Like, somebody asked Duke once, so what are those two like? And his answer was, well, whatever he likes, she hates. And whatever she likes, he hates.
Ron,
and
what about you?
That pretty much sums it up, doesn't it?
As far as what? Just shopping?
When you go to the store, do you like to go to the store? Or do you just go, oh, God, I got to go to the store?
If I'm going in there for something I need, I'm good. But if I have to just go to the store just off of general purpose, no. If that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does make sense.
Just like with clothes. Like, I go to the mall.
Mm-hmm. You know what you want.
I know what I want, then I get the hell out.
Well, that's kind of a guy thing. That's sort of a stereotype of guys, that they don't shop. They go in and they know exactly what they want. And I'm not talking about clothes now. I'm talking about, it is true for me for clothes as well. But I don't like going to the store at all. I'm trying to think of any way that I do like it, but I don't like it. No matter how much I try to think
I can
that,
solve this
I
problem
like
for
it.
You. I can solve you this problem. When you go to the store, just walk around heading for whatever it is you need, and you will find that people will start talking to you. And
maybe that's
the next
you're just
thing,
desperate for people to talk to, Tom.
I love to talk people to people.
I know that is true.
It's Well, I'm not ashamed to say that.
It's fine.
I'm just walking around and people who I don't even know will walk over and say, just start smiling and telling me.
Do you have something to do with the fact that you're Tom Fitzmaurice? I wonder.
Well, I don't know how they know that, because some people can recognize me, but I'm on the radio.
I think you've been around enough, Tom, that people do recognize who you
are. Well, next Saturday, let's pick a place and see what happens when I just walk in.
No.
Okay. I had a feeling.
Anyway, I'm curious. No one has an opinion on whether or not they like to shop at the store.
No, we have two and two.
That's kind of amazing. The only other thing that I do is I run into Trader Joe's and get my 3 or 4 pounds of chocolate, and that takes about 5 minutes. If they're busy, a little bit longer than that.
Well, what
fun
is
that? I mean, I have a very limited sphere of things that I shop for. Very limited. And I mean, that's because we eat most of our meals out. But I realized why that is the other day. After we cooked for Labor Day, we spent the whole day. If you want to see the write-up on this, go to nomenu.com. But we did do what we said we were going to do, which is, we advised people to cook for Labor Day. So then we went ahead and cooked ourselves. And so we cooked. Well, it was like we now have in the refrigerator what I call the meat bag. It's all the leftover
meats, which were
sausage, which I'm just about ready to stop eating totally. I'm so traumatized by that. It's like every time I pick up any, I don't do newspapers, but anytime I look at anything now, it's don't eat processed meats. And I love bacon and I love sausage, and I'm starting to get traumatized by that. But anyway, we had sausage, we had chicken, and we had pork ribs. And now they're all in a big pile in a bag in the refrigerator, and I hope to get to them eventually. But something I don't ever do. I don't ever shop. But I started to say we would cook, and then it was like, I don't know, 2 hours to cook, and then 2 or 3 hours to clean up. And I thought, gosh, now I remember why we always eat out, because it's really a pain to cook, especially if you're just cooking for one person. It's
I've noticed
it's not
that.
Worth it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
260-6368.
6368. If you would like to chat with us, we are talking about the usual, all kinds of nothing,
and one
having to do with food. What?
One quick little statistic before we go out. You said all this Piggly Wiggly started in 1916.
In 1916. What a perfect name for a store in Memphis.
Perfect.
Piggly Wiggly.
And in 1916 was the highest peak in the history of the railroads in America. There were 16, whatever it was, 16,000 or, but it was the peak.
Tom was so titillated yesterday, weren't
you? Titillated?
Yes, we ran into Kevin Bennett at Keith Young.
Yeah.
And he was with his former partner, Gary, when they owned the Speedy Oil Change.
Uh-huh.
And they came over to the table to chat for a few minutes, and Gary and Tom started talking about railroads.
Yeah, they're so much fun. Trains, I love trains.
Gary's had a slightly more interesting experience with railroads.
Yeah.
Because Gary's a lot richer than Tom. And so Tom travels on Amtrak, and Gary travels on private rail cars with clawfoot tubs in them. And those are, you know, I mean, I could do that.
All right. Well,
put
together your schedule for this, and we'll come back and talk about it
some
more.
Yes, but first we have to talk about New Orleans hamburger and seafood.
Oh, okay. Take it away.
It's where you will find great seafood. Fried to order, comes to the table piping hot, greaseless, the perfect color, golden brown, delicious and crisp. And you can get that on a poor boy, or you could get that in a platter. They have great local specialties, things like red beans and rice, got a pasta dishes. They have other sandwiches, good salads, and of course, burgers. They have a good burger menu. It's a pretty extensive burger menu. The burgers are crisp, not crisp, they are crunchy and juicy on the inside. That is New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, and now you can get char-grilled oysters there. They have 10 locations around town, a nice, nice, casual, fast, casual dining experience. That's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood. Go see them at one of their 10 locations. When we come back, what are we going to be talking about, Tom?
Food.
Oh, yeah.
Food and
what
drinking, we have the news coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Food Show after first. Please, this.
making it up to the top of the hour. All right.
It is the top of the hour, and we'll have the bottom of the hour and a whole hour with it.
In between, if you stay
with us for more of the Food Show here on 105.3 FM HD2. Kenner, New Orleans, where the news is next over most of these frequencies from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. Stay tuned. More of the Food Show coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.